Friday. One of the rites of spring here in Washington is the Radio and TV Correspondents' Dinner, where every year the president gets up to make fun of himself. Democrat, Republican, high ratings or low, doesn't matter. Last night, President Bush appealed to nostalgia.
A year ago, my approval rating was in the 30s. My nominee for the Supreme Court had just withdrawn. And my vice president had shot someone. Those were the good old days.
Just a short clip from last night's Radio TV Correspondents' Dinner here in Washington. The highlight is often the comedian-in-chief, but this year he was upstage by no less than Karl Rove, the president's chief political advisor, who appeared as we've never seen him before.
Yeah! Now listen up, suckers, don't get the jitters, but MC Rove says heads off of critters. That's true, it's cruel to see, but he's gonna be about animal cruelty. He's a man, he's a treasure trove. Tell me, what is your name?
I'm MC Rove.
That's right.
Karl Rove as MC Rove, dancing with rapster-like moves, robotically, rhythmically crossing his arms, even jumping up and down, that with the cast of Whose Line Is It Anyway? The video is a hit on YouTube today. The hugely successful video-sharing website provides instant access to videos that range from odd to entertaining, and sometimes it creates stars. Depending on how things work out, Mr. Rove may be looking to make a career move. Keith Snyder wrote about some of those who have translated internet stardom into success in an article for the New York Times last month. So why not you? What makes an entertaining internet video? Have you made one? The number, as always, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Keith Snyder, freelance writer and contributor to the New York Times, joins us now from member station WUOT in Knoxville, Tennessee. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
And you traveled to Portland, Maine to discover the prime examples of internet video entrepreneurs made good.
I actually went to Buckfield, Maine, which is about 70 miles outside of Portland, to interview Fritz Grobe and Stephen Voltz, who produced a video last summer that explored what happens when you drop Mentos, mints, you know, the candies, into Diet Coke and produce these amazing geysers. And Fritz and Stephen spent 6 months before they produced that video to figure out how to make it look like a fountain, and did so, put it up on YouTube, and became one of the first YouTube celebrities.
In fact, the story is even better than that. They used this to enter a contest. They never heard back from anybody. And apparently they mentioned it to one friend, and from that little acorn
came stardom on the internet, came, you know, a first-of-its-kind contract with Coca-Cola Company, in which Coca-Cola is now producing or subsidizing, not paying for these videos. Came a contract with Mentos Mints, which is paying for these videos, and has launched a really important kind of comedic career for Fritz and Stephen, whose future is unclear at this point, but they are riding this tidal wave of celebrity.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, they say they're in discussions with the Discovery Channel to host a presumably semi-serious science series.
And last summer, we had a whole series of these kinds of very entertaining, creative people hitting the big time on YouTube, one of whom won the YouTube, most watched award 2 days ago, AskANinja.com. Mm-hmm. Kent Nichols and his partner produced these 6 to 8 minute episodes. They've done 40 or 50. 300 to 500,000 people watch each episode. And in February, they signed a $1 million contract with Federated Media on the West Coast, which is representing the advertising for those programs.
And there are others you mentioned in your article, Jib Jab. They're famous for, among other things, political satires.
And there are people that are getting this kind of level of recognition, the currency of recognition, without the currency of real money, too. I mean, one of the most watched videos on the internet right now is produced by a 79-year-old British former public health inspector motorcycle salesman named Peter Oakley, who goes under the name of Geriatric 1927. And Peter Oakley has produced formed a new kind of genre of legacy in which he's describing his own life, and has prompted two or three dozen other seniors and retirees to chip in little 6 to 8 minute episodes of their lives, the stories on their lives, and they're achieving 20,000, 30,000 visits every time they post a video on YouTube.
Well, aside from Mr. Grobe and his partner, Stephen Volz, these two guys who made the Mentos and Diet Coke video, are people managing to actually cash in on the fact that they can get all of these tens of thousands of people, or in their case, millions of people, to watch them?
And that's the real trick. The Ask a Ninja folks, Ken Nichols and his partner, are. Judson Lapley, who has one of the most popular, if not still the most popular, the Evolution of Dance video on YouTube, which has been seen by more than 40 million people, is working with the Disney company and other to leverage the currency of recognition earned on internet through a very, you know, hilarious film, a short film of 6 minutes, into a new career. Judson Lapley is a comedian. He was a dancer. He did, you know, he appeared around the country as an entertainer. And he's achieved a recognition that could only be achieved previous to this on broadcast television. He didn't need broadcast television in his case. He produced a video, shot it in Tulsa, Oklahoma, carefully shot it in front of an audience of mostly students, college students from Oral Roberts University. And it's the audience that is, the communication from the audience and the response to his dance maneuvers is a big conversation that occurs in that video and really makes that video so much fun to watch. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of people who have broken through. The internet is providing vast fortunes, i.e. Google, and it's providing these budding smaller fortunes among creative folks, and it's beginning to, YouTube and file sharing and video productions is, you know, creeping into other parts of our culture. Hillary Clinton, for instance, is using YouTube to broadcast her positions on energy, on the war, on health care.
And John Edwards and several other the candidates as well. We always have to spell it out for radio listeners who are unfamiliar with it. YOUTUBE.com is YouTube. Let's see if we can get some listeners in on the conversation. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Have you uploaded a video to YouTube in search of success or fame or just to share it with your friends? Let's talk with Scott. Scott's with us from South Carolina.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I have a band, Spowitz, and we put out our own music video on YouTube, and we had just a huge splash. People seem to be into something that's really happening that's not available on the mainstream media, because you get things that, like, even the reality, they push back into reality television. It's not reality. It's a form of scripted something or another. And we put out our music, and it's stuff that you usually can't see in a club. You can't. It perhaps would be illegal some place. We use all sorts of illegal samples from TV and radio and old commercials, things you could never get anybody's permission to do. But we do it anyway, and we put it up on YouTube, and it's been a big success. Now we're selling on CD Baby and iTunes, and people seem to like it.
It's a whole underground marketing. It's a new way of marketing. It's not so underground, really, is it?
I actually got a check. I've never made any money on Ben. I actually got a check in the mail. This is amazing.
And did it bounce?
No. It cashed. It was for downloads.
That's well. Congratulations, Scott. You have to be one of the few people who's actually made some money off the internet.
Well, it wasn't much, but I was actually happy. But that wasn't the reason why. The reason we do it is because we want to do what we want to do, and nobody's going to stop us.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Scott. Good luck to you and your band.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to ask you, Keith Schneider, that seems to reinforce one of the ideas that came out in your piece, that this viral marketing by word of mouth is incredibly powerful.
Well, YouTube is a new space. It's a space that's occurred at the intersection of technology and our own cultural need to be known, to get our word and ourselves out there. And it's very easy. It also fills that space of convenience and ease. So YouTube, which is based on very sophisticated technology, is easy to use. And getting to YouTube, that is to buy a $400 Panasonic mini DV camera, you know, a $90 microphone, maybe some sort of a recording device and a tripod, and a bit of creativity, gets you access to this worldwide space in which you can let people know that you're there. Mm-hmm. So it fits so much of what we are right now in this country.
Yet there are a kajillion videos on YouTube. It's not so easy to get yours to stick out.
But the thing about YouTube that's just fascinating, I've been writing for the New York Times since 1981. You know, I use YouTube to do research. I wrote about Gary Hart, for instance, and look for old Gary Hart election campaign, election of advertising, and found a whole series of, you know, ads that he had shot and broadcast in New York and Virginia and other places as a piece of research. So it's this vast archive as well, and not everything is going to get a million views, but lots of stuff is getting 1,000 views or 2,000 views. And for the folks that are putting those kinds of videos up here, that's sufficient. Mm-hmm. That's their audience. That's an audience that they can cultivate. And the other part of this is that audience can talk back, can communicate with them, can send them emails. And Geriatric 1927, Peter Oakley in Britain, he told me that after every time he posts on YouTube 6 or 8 times a month, he's getting 50 to 60 emails every time, and they are regular correspondents, and they come from every continent.
We're speaking with Keith Snyder, a contributing writer for the New York Times, about the phenomenon of YouTube and entertainment on internet video. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Keith, there was something that our caller mentioned. He's using some clips that are not necessarily legal. You wouldn't get permission to use them, and indeed now YouTube is running into some copyright issues.
Well, I think this is sort of the darker side that's emerging about YouTube and the other viral video sharing sites. Who owns the videos? Who really owns that? And YouTube and Google Video and others haven't been very clear about the parameters of ownership and what they're going to allow to stay up and what they're going to take down. People assume that this is a permanent digital archive. It isn't a permanent digital archive. It's controlled by the viral video sites like YouTube and Google, and that has to be sorted out. There are First Amendment questions there. There are ownership questions there. There are control questions there. And people like Kent Nichols of Ask a Ninja, who I've talked to about this, say, you know, is Ask a Ninja going to be the first generation that had the freedom to break through and the last generation as well because of these control issues?
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Eli. Eli with us from Cleveland.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's nice to have you call in.
I'm representing my my niece, whose name is Tara Naomi. And Tara is a wonderful musician who for 7 years has been struggling her way. And in 2006 decided to forego her summer tour and create what she called a virtual summer tour and post it on YouTube. And to her astonishment, she developed an incredible following. Her song, Say It's Possible, I believe has now been viewed by more than 5 million people.
5 million people?
Oh, yeah. Well the significant thing, you were talking about transforming a YouTube. It was a video she made with a tiny little camera of her playing. It's all original music. There's no copyright issues for her.
Uh-huh.
And she strummed the guitar, and she sang, and it's a beautiful song. And she began to get emails from people in languages she couldn't read telling her how moving they thought that her music was. But here's the point. She, in December, signed with Island Records. She went from a situation where she would tour the country playing house parties, which is essentially where people invite their friends to your home to come hear a musician,
right,
to clubs where she was perhaps performing in front of 5 to 50 people, to having a platform that has given her the break, that the kind of mythical break that when the Hollywood mogul spots some kid in a I can't remember the name of the place.
It's Schwab's Drugstore, and I was going to ask you.
This is her drugstore.
Yeah, so Keith Snyder, our talent scouts, and we wish your niece good luck on Island Records, Eli. And is this the video equivalent of Schwab's Drugstore?
Oh, I think so. I think it's beyond Schwab's Drugstore. It's a global Schwab's Drugstore, and I think there are producers all over the country who are, you know, as interested in YouTube as I am and as you are and as millions of people out. You know, people come home, they don't turn off on the TV any longer. They get on the internet, and they're cruising through Google Video or YouTube or live video and other viral video sharing sites. So the other piece of this that's really interesting that I'm finding is that people are composing together on YouTube. So you'll have I've seen videos where a woman is playing a guitar riff, and then there's a drummer that comes on with his own video who's playing the drums to the woman's video, and then there's a bass drummer coming on to play the bass line with the drum line with the lead. And this is the kind of social interactions that are occurring on YouTube in this virtual world that's not so virtual. It's becoming such reality for everybody.
Yeah, let's get one last caller in. This is Mike with us from Baltimore.
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
We're doing well. We just have a minute or so for you.
Thanks for having me on. I used to be a professional MC, a rapper in Baltimore for about 5 years, and I switched careers. I now teach high school economics. I did a rap with a student beatboxer on our stage at our talent show, and all the people that I'd worked with for 5 years are coming to me about seeing this thing on YouTube. Somebody recorded it on their phone and are more impressed with it than anything I did professionally. I went and searched rap teacher, and I kind of wore it as a badge of honor now that I am the first hit that you get when you type in rap teacher on YouTube. Hmm. And I just thought it was funny, having been in the profession for so long, having switched professions, just because I'm on YouTube for the first time, I'm getting a whole new and even some former fans kind of coming to me with comments.
And are you thinking of backing out of that economics deal?
No, absolutely not. I love the job too much.
All right, Mike, good luck to you. Thanks very much for being with us today. And we also want to thank our contributor, Keith Schneider, who was with us today from the studios of member station WUOT in Knoxville, Tennessee. Thanks very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Keith Schneider is a freelance writer and a contributor to the New York Times, also editor and director of program development at the Michigan Land Use Institute, and we thank him again for his time. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.